roundabout and order to maybe some shadows are going to be more pertinent to certain guys, and some shadows are going to be more pertinent to other guys. Depends on one's family, but it's all, I think, very important things to understand. And even if you don't have it, doesn't necessarily apply to you as much. Just the different concepts that come out, they probably will come up at some point of your lives. So number one, I just want to start with a pasha, the very obvious thing that unfortunately I think has gotten better over the years, but I assume it's still a problem out there, and that is going to non-kosher restaurants. Okay, visiting non-kosher restaurants, even if you're not going to go to McDonald's and eat meat, you're just going to eat dairy, there are major, major problems that are attached to it, and there's absolutely no heter to go to a non-kosher restaurant. If you're going, you're on the road somewhere, and you need a Coke or something, that then it's really no problem. There really is no Marasayan issue with these things also. I'm going to ask you guys to just hold questions, and I'll try and stop for a couple times, or else we're not going to cover any ground. Just to order a sale, it could be talking about numerous Yisurei Daraisas going to a non-kosher restaurant, not including the cheeses that are used are many times not kosher cheeses, and what the pans that they're being used, if you're ordering something hot, can have what could have been used for pork right beforehand. There are numerous issues not kosher. There's absolutely no heter in the world to go to a non-kosher restaurant for a business meeting. So nowadays there's a lot of things that you should talk to Rav before doing it, but a lot many times in these business meetings you could order wrapped kosher food to your table. I heard there was recently a big incident that Trump Plaza or something like that. It was all over the news that someone ordered a kosher meal and they brought him a treif meal and they lied about it and he ended up being treif. But that was a yotzei mina klal. In general, if it's packaged correctly and it's done in a way, then there can be times for business purposes. It's not a lechatchila situation. Sometimes for business, one has to go ahead and do it. What about eating at non-from relatives? Okay, grandparents, uncles and aunts, you want to, your parents are going to visit them, they want you to go with them, and you go to their house, and they say, don't worry, this is all kosher food, and you can go ahead and eat it. So what was that? So obviously if it's not kosher food, and you can't trust them that it's actually kosher food, so then it is no good. And just to trust them that it's kosher food is not necessarily okay either, because they say it's kosher food, usually not for, they don't have 9 months. You can't necessarily believe them. We'll get to in the specific cases that maybe we could. But let's say they give you a package of salami, and it's wrapped up, and it's got the OU on it, and it's, so you see it's a kosher package, it's closed, everything like that. Are you allowed to eat it? So obviously you can eat it. The question is, can you eat it on their kalim? Are you allowed to put cold food at a non-from relative's house? Could you put it on their kalim and eat from it? Or for that matter, it's happened in another year, go to a guy's house. Okay, you happen to be at a goy's house, or you go to somewhere, and you know the kalim are treif, but you're only using cold. Are you allowed to put it on this? We all know, hopefully we know by now, that cold, when it comes to kashrus, is a lot more lenient than dealing with hot foods, especially when you're not dealing with spicy, what we call davar harif, onions, and sharp vegetables, and things like that, and there's really no problem maker to dinner to put it on a cold plate. The question is, we allow you to do lechatchila. So there's a steer in the Ramah. The Ramah in some Sadi Beis in Yoredeya seems to say that only specific foods you can put on, if there's a liquid on it, you would not be allowed to do it. However, the Ramah in some Kuchav Aleph, says specifically that one is allowed to do this. He could put kosher food, cold food, on a plate. It would not be a problem. You could use a fork and a knife that's treif also, as long as it is cold food. And the shach over there, we generally assume that we pass it like this Ramah, that in certain cases, one will be allowed to eat on non-from relatives. And one tanai is that you don't do it often kavua. It doesn't become a set thing, meaning if you trape up a plate in your house, you say, hey, you know what, I'm just going to set it aside, it will be my cold serving platter, that's not okay because you're using it b'kvias. If you're just visiting your grandparents who are not religious and they serve you once a month, even once a week, you go to visit your grandparents, they see you serve you cold food on a plate, so then we assume that that is going to be mutter b'shas tzorf. You don't need to rely on these things, then you should not rely on this. Which gets to the big shiloh of Bali Tshuva. What about Bali Tshuva? That is a a big shiloh in the post game. What do? To stop eating at their parents' house. They go back and they have the shiloh all the time, let's say Eisha Torah and places like this where people come from, they come out, come from really non-from homes, and they're going back to their homes. What are they supposed to do? As I said before, they don't really have enough money to say the food's kosher, so you can go ahead and visit your grandmother once in 2 weeks. So you see, she prepares you, gives you a closed package of salami or whatever it might be. So that makes that's pretty easy. But if you're eating on a daily basis, three meals a day at home, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do over there? And even if they want to be very giving to you and they want to kosher their home for you, nevertheless, they don't really know anything about kashrus, and they should not be believed about kashrus. So Rav Moshe Feinstein saves the day. Basically, in the world of the Bali Tshuva over here, he quotes a Gemara, it actually just came up in Daf Yomi, but it's also another Gemara in Ksubas, I believe also we've not gotten to yet, that says that is the case over there. Ksubas, I believe, if I remember correctly, was basically one of the Dayanim, one of the Amorayim, basically used the Eidus of his wife for certain things. It wasn't real Eidus, but he used the Eidus of his wife for certain things. You can't use the Eidus of a woman in this case. How can you use Eidus? And it says the Lashon of Kim Le Begava, that he knew her intimately in a form that she knew that she was not lying. And therefore he was able to accept her testimony in a specific case, in a very specific case. And so therefore Moshe finds that if someone has a title of Kim Le Begava, you trust the person because you know them very well, so then that person for you has the emunah, even though these parents, these not from parents, would not be allowed to testify in Beis Din. They have no emunah, they're Machal Shabbos, v'chulei v'chulei, but for this son who trusts his parents, so then they have the sense of Kim Le Begava, and he could trust them that they're not going to cook pork anymore in the oven, and they're going to buy kosher food, and v'chulei v'chulei. There is a story that came out from this, not a really great story, that basically one of these Bali Tshuva who was relying on Rav Moshe basically walked into his home one day and overheard his parents talking to their friend and said, oh yeah, whatever his name is, Moshe, he thinks that we keep kosher, we tell him we keep kosher, but we don't really don't. And that was a very difficult thing, obviously, for the son to realize that his parents have been tricking him. But in general, we assume that if for Bali Tshuva one can be makel, for Kim Le Begava, they can rely on these things. Okay, so that is. Any questions up until now? Okay. Yes?
How cold does it have to be?
Cold. Anything lower than if I would touch it, I wouldn't move my hand away. Okay? You might not want to start playing games at 100 degrees Fahrenheit.
So warm is okay?
Warm. Like, warm and not hot? Yes, it's okay.
Room temperature.
Room temperature is for sure fine. Doesn't have to be very, very cold. Yes? Oh, because the Ramah, no. I said, but the Ramah, the Chor of the Machab would agree over there. Yes?
By what Moshe said, that's also by non-from like relatives. That's only by
so, for sure, by parents, okay, as you start getting more removed, I don't know if you would say the Svar of Kimle Begava, that you can necessarily trust everything that's going on. Okay, that's a trust. Talk to Rav. Once again, there's a difference between visiting once and living in someone's house. I would not recommend living in a relative's house that doesn't keep kosher. Someone's stuck, but if it's their parents, they're 16 years old, they're becoming a Baal Tshuva, there's not really much of a choice.
Two questions. So if you're on the road and you're like speak up, if you're on the road and,
yeah,
and you want a coffee, you let a stop off at McDonald's.
Okay. So coffee gets to be a little bit more problematic. In general, coffee is not such a problem with kashrus. The problem is, though, Elijah's would have the flavored coffees. The flavored coffees could be in their home. Well, again, Starbucks is kosher, Starbucks is not kosher. I don't really know too much about it. I know there can be problems with some of the flavored coffees, and therefore the utensils being used for the flavored coffees don't have the same utensils. So, in general, if it's just serving regular coffee, there should be no problem. Okay, but if they're having the fancy coffees, then they can be more of a problem.
And regarding the cold meat and stuff,
yeah,
what if Kalim weren't told?
So generally we would say the Kalim were not told. So generally we hold that the Tfilas Kalim is a Chiv on the Balabais. It's not a Chiv on me. So if I'm not the owner of the Kalim, it's not really my Chiv. It's not the best thing in the world, but over here we would rely on you would be a Lechor allowed to eat on the Kalim. We're not told. Yes.
Two questions. One, are pickles considered spicy?
Yes.
And also with the business meeting, does it make a difference if you're going to lose money or you're just looking to gain money?
there, in general, there is a big difference in halacha between losing money and not gaining money. But in general, over here, as in most places of all, there's no real maris ayin. Maris ayin is a very complicated din. Okay, maris ayin is a very complicated din. But in general, we don't add maris ayin that Chazal did not talk about. Okay, so if you don't, I wouldn't recommend going to non-kosher restaurants. But for a business meeting, especially now, it's become more of an accepted thing that people know, then it should be allowed. Yes.
Is there any type of maris ayin when it comes to, like, for a business meeting, if it's in, like, another country? Like, for example, like, my dad goes to China. So
well, in general, maris ayin, if it is maris ayin, it's maris ayin even in where there's no Jews.
Okay.
Okay, we say, kol sheyesh bo maris ayin afilu b'chedri chadori maser. Even in the privacy of one's own home, no one's why you lock the door, it still is a problem. By maris ayin deraisa. Yes?
A lot of stores, the products that they use have hechshers in the box. And you're not supposed to hold like that, but let's say you're going drive through. Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of maris ayin?
Once again, I'm not so worried about the problem with maris ayin. If you go to a store, what do you mean? They give you a packaged food that was out.
Like if you get, ice cream at McDonald's.
I mean, if you buy a regular Häagen-Dazs ice cream and McDonald's comes in a.
They have ice cream machines that go into a par of cones.
Who says that? You just said you're buying packaged things that have a shkach on it.
You know what I'm saying? The ice cream mix that they use has a shkach.
So over there, I don't know if you could. Who knows what they're putting in over there? If you buy something, you buy an ice cream bar that is a package, you buy it from McDonald's or you buy it from 7-Eleven, there's no real difference. Okay, but I don't know. Unless you know the Metzias very, very well, I wouldn't buy extra things that have flavors and different things. The machine, I don't know if they cleaned out the machine between there. They put the pork flavored ice cream before in that same.
McDonald's, they're known for just their vanilla ice cream.
Yeah. A lot of these questions. This is a question you should. I go to a from Orthodox rabbi in America who knows the Matzias better than I do. Yes.
Just like a standard like Chips Ahoy cookie. Like let's say it's not Chips Ahoy brand, so it doesn't have an OU. What could be, you said, like, the Deraisa problem? Like, they're not putting...
Things that do not have a shkacha, you're not allowed to buy. That's in the Kudak. They don't have to, because now in America, they only have to put in, mention all the ingredients up to a certain point. If it's not, if it's only a certain percentage, you don't have to mention it.
So there's, like, a chance
There's a chance, yes. Oreo cookies. No one ate Oreo cookies until they became kosher, even though, say, the ingredients were the same before and the same ingredients afterwards. Yes, Damanti. No more questions. We'll move on.
What is the current practice for using microwave?
I'll get to microwaves. It's on my list to get to. Yes.
For Oreos, there's some I've seen that it says parv.
So, to my knowledge, they really are parv. But these are quite questions. OU does not have anything called DE, dairy equipment. Dairy equipment is not dairy. It's dairy equipment. It's not. It's basically parv. But all products that are used dairy equipment, they write OUD on it. All you have to do is call the OU in this case. They'll tell you exactly if it's something that's dairy. Okay. I think they're dairy equipment, that's what my knowledge.
If you go to a hotel and the waffle mix, like everything's kosher, but what about the waffle maker?
It's a serious problem. Because you don't know what they're putting in the waffles. I don't know, there could be some ingredients they put in the waffles the previous day. If it doesn't have a shkacha, that would be no better than going to a restaurant and ordering. Asking the waiter what ingredients are in the thing that they're cooking. Yeah.
Kind of cautious. If you go to a non-Jewish restaurant for a meeting,
yeah.
Do you think you keep it off or not?
Mm-hmm. It's a very good question. Rav Nemensol has it in general, he holds even if one goes to an absolutely usher place, somebody goes to a chas or shalom, will go to a bar or something like that. There's absolutely usher to go to with no hatters whatsoever. So even a place like that, Rav Nemensol holds that you'll say it's maris ayin to go in with the kippah. He says the worst maris ayin in the world is to make yourself dressed up like a non from Jew. That's the worst maris ayin. So you're getting out of the less maris ayin problem. All you're doing is having a beer in a bar, and you're getting yourself in a worse maris ayin is dressing up as a non religious Jew. So I understand it. I would have thought differently, but that's what redundant holds. Others might hold the same. Put on if you're worried, put on a baseball hat. Yeah.
Going back to Yara's question with the waffle bar and the hotel, usually it's you leave out the pancake mix and the pancake maker, and you just do it yourself.
Once again, once again, the problems with the pancake and waffle maker, was there ever any ingredients in there that was used that are not kosher ingredients? The mix that you're putting in now is kosher, but the problem is the machine. A machine, we have two sets of dishes. We have different dishes in our house because you're not allowed to have safety from Netflix, safety from Netflix. So it could be that I don't know what he might have put in, but he might have put in something into the waffle maker or the pancake maker. If you know for sure, there's no way that this only they use this pancake mix. With this pancake maker, and they never use anything else, then there might be room to bake. But in general, with hot food, yeah, it's very hard to. Yeah, let's move on. We'll take more questions as we go. Okay, one thing that comes up very, very importantly at Lel Seder, especially when you're having non from guests, is the problem of Yain Nesach. Yain Nesach is wine that was used for Avodah Zarah purpose. Yain used for Avodah Zarah purposes is Aser Ba'anah, it's Aser to use Bichlal. Okay, so that, you probably don't have really a problem with it. I said, I hope no one's bowing down to the bottles of wine and the like. But what people might be doing at the Seder is having what we call Yain Stam. Stam Yaina. Stam Yaina, we assume that even if a guy who does not worship Avodah Zarah touches a bottle of wine that is opened, or pours a bottle of wine, either which way, it is the bottle of wine becomes aser to use. And this gezeira is extended also to non-from Jews also. Non-from Jews who touch a bottle of wine or pour a bottle of wine, aser the wine. Okay, which gets to a major problem. You have your non-from relatives over at Lel Seder, and they very innocently pick up the bottle of wine to pour themselves a cup of wine. They have now asered the bottle of wine. So there's a very important hetter to know. Very important hetter to know is that we assume as long as you're not, your fathers are not into like really fancy wines, so there's something called Yain Mevushel. Okay, Yain Mevushel are the more cheaper wines. Nowadays you can even get fancy wines that are Yain Mevushel. But Yain Mevushel basically saves the day when it comes to Stam Yain. We assume that when you have the Yain Mevushel, back in the day, cooked wine was looked very down upon it, because after they cooked the wine, to use it for Avodah Zarah was not so practical. They wouldn't use it. They would use such a bad bottle of wine for Avodah Zarah, so therefore there's no gzera on Yain Mevushel. Okay? With that saying, I should let you know, there is the Shita of Rosh Shlomo Zalman, Rav Elyasha, Rav Nevinsal, which I am telling you not to hold like when it comes to when you guys are going to go back to your own homes. And that is, they basically hold that anything nowadays that is considered Yain Mevushel, is called Yain Mevushel, is not really Yain Mevushel. Yain Mevushel now is just pasteurized. It's done in a way just to take out some of the bacteria, v'chule, but it does not make the wine more inferior. As I just said, nowadays they can make $200 bottles of wine that are also Yain Mevushel. The modern-day technology, they could cook it and it does not become inferior. They say if it was really Yain Mevushel, they would not be able to sell it on the market. It'd be disgusting that people wouldn't want to buy it. Therefore, they sell that nowadays the Yain Mevushel we call Yain Mevushel, not really Yain Mevushel. Therefore, the whole hetter is really thrown out the window. Our Moshe Feinstein did not hold like that, and others did not hold like that. So, I believe very strongly when you guys go back to America, go like Ramosha. Don't start being a. If you want, what you could do is make sure you have your own bottle of wine. And you could go out to the store and buy your own special bottle of wine that you don't want anyone else to have for Lel Seder. And this is your bottle of wine that you're going to have. And then you can save yourself any problems if you're worried about such a thing. But in general, I think Rav Moshe Feinstein you could rely on if go ahead and embarrass them and say not to let them pour the wine. Or what you can do is some people have the minhag is that other people pour wine for everyone at the Seder. So you could go ahead and be that guy. Sure, you're the guy who's pouring wine for everyone else, and therefore I won't get into the problem of Yain Nesach. If you want to be machmir for Shlomo Zalman, so you just watch over your bottle. If you watch over your bottle, make sure it's not touched, so then you don't have to worry about it too much. Yeah.
How do you define a religious Jew?
Oh, so anyone who's for sure Mechal Shabbos with Varhesia, no matter what, even if a rabbi figure would walk into the room, they wouldn't care and they would continue. Mechal Shabbos, they're for sure Mechal, they're considered a non-from Jew. That is probably the best getter in terms of Shabbos is really the thing. If someone basically tries, or even doesn't even try so hard, basically keeps Shabbos, so then it could be that he's already not to consider a non-from Jew. Posting are a little bit makele when it comes to the exact getter. Someone who drives on Shabbos and doesn't care about Shabbos, there's only that those type of Jews would be, even if they don't know any better. Yes.
Two things. One, where is it said that the non-Mevushel wine also applies to non-from Jews?
Where does it say that? It's an Achronim over there in Hilchos Yayin Netzach.
Okay, fine. And let's say you have relatives that don't necessarily drive on Shabbos, but like with regards to like the fridge, they don't necessarily tape the light.
That was fine. I mean, it's not fine, but they would not be considered non-Nachronim. Basically, someone who's tries to keep some of the mitzvahs some of the time, they're basically okay. In terms of Yayin Netzach. We try to keep all the mitzvahs all the time, but you know, we all know those types of. Okay, yeah.
First, this only the touching of the wine, that only applies to the wine, not any other type of alcohol.
Right.
And then also is the yayin mevushal, it only applies to non-religious Jews. Like same thing.
Which comes to a very important point also. If you are at a fancy wedding, okay, not all kashrus are so makbid on these things. If you're at a fancy wedding, they're serving nice bottles of wine that are not mevushal wines. The waiters are not pour for you. They're not religious Jews. They cannot, most of the time they're goyim. They absolutely cannot pour. If they open the bottle or they pour it, it's very problematic. Not only that, sometimes at weddings, sometimes under the chuppah, the manager of the hotel will come and open the bottle of the wine. The wine just became awesome. You're drinking non-kosher wine under the chuppah. Okay, so Masada Kedushin has to be very careful. You have to be careful with these things. Most Masada Kedushin are makbid. They'll make sure that he watches them open the bottle of wine, and the bottle of wine is then washed from the other. Because all it takes is one of the janitors or one of the workers in the hotel to come out, pick up the bottle of wine, and look at the label. It's done. It's no longer kosher.
It's okay. Someone watches
while the lines open, or it's... No. Watch to make sure that no one touches it.
Sure.
Okay, it's okay if the bottle's still closed, then they're allowed to touch it. Once the bottle's open, then everything, yes, then.
What's considered touching? Is touching literally just that's touched, or
it's
is it
being
poured?
Asked to be moved. It's being asked to be moved. Yes.
Are you also going to talk about meat?
Meat?
Yeah, like, if it's open and a guy touches it.
Oh, I wasn't planning it. It's not so... Hey, probably not. Goy touches meat is not a problem. You're talking about basar and nitali minayim. The issur that basar was left in around the goy and no one's watching it, so we're afraid that he switched it for the kosher meat for the non-kosher meat. That's basar and nitali minayim. There's a famous story on the airplane where the guy got up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the flight, and he comes back to his seat and he realized he left his turkey unwatched. Okay, and there was a guy sitting next to him. So the horse boss around, he's following an eye. He left the one who he wasn't watching. And who knows what happened in the meantime. And he in the end of the day, he decided he wasn't going to eat the meat. And later on, the guy turns and goes, "Why didn't you eat the meat?" And he said something like, I don't remember exactly what he said. He said to him something like, you know, well, we have a law that if the meat is left... unwatched, we're not really supposed to eat it. He goes, "Oh, that's interesting. While you were gone, your meat looked better than mine." I switched them in the middle. Okay, so that's a famous story, though. That was happening. But generally, when it's packaged and it's still closed meat, then it's not usually a problem.
So, if we have leftovers from Shabbos and then the cleaning lady is home alone,
I think that thing we're makel. Generally, Shasta was more machmir this year. I think generally we're makel. Yes, last question, we'll move on.
What about fish?
Fish.
Yeah.
What about fish? Fish and meat.
Fish.
What about fish?
See, you go somewhere and there's like no kosher food, like all the fish is kosher, but it's packaged.
It's a packaged thing.
There's no kosher on the fish. You know it's kosher fish.
That's a good question. The chora makes sense if it's a salmon or it's a tuna. It should be kosher, but I don't know. You have to ask a kosher organization. I think in general, makel. I went to call the CRC. My son once went on a fishing trip with my father-in-law, and they came back with like 8 big salmon, but they were all gutted by the fisherman. The fisherman gutted them and used his knife. So I was worried. One of them said the knife is kosher. Am I allowed to use it? And they were makel. They thought it was fine because the knife was cold knife. It's the same knife they used to gut the fish. It's or never used for hot, and therefore they felt it was mutter. Fine. Moving on, then there's a major problem called Bishul Akum. Okay, Bishul Akum, this is where you might get into. So let me just give... you have to make sure when we go home, we're not going to go ahead and start telling our parents that they can't do this and they can't do that. Okay, that is usually a big no-no. Okay, so you have to be very, very careful with anything. These are very, very touchy topics. You have to be very careful. In general, I think the best way to handle something, if after your mivarech, after you spoke it out and you're clear on the metzias, a lot of times we think, oh, when I'm in yeshiva, I see my rabbi doing like this, I see my rabbi doing this, so it must be my parents are doing something wrong. So many times our parents are not doing something wrong. They're following a different sheet of the rabbi that went to his house. They're following the more machmer sheet, but the sheet that our parents are following was a fine sheet of the follow, and they were following that sheet. Maybe it wasn't the best sheet of the follow, but it was some sheet of the follow. Then most times we're going to say that's going to be good also. The question is, what are we going to do when they are absolutely after Mivara, the Messiah, and for sure doing something wrong on Shabbos? So I suggest to the people the best thing to do is then to approach their shul rabbi. Okay, let the shul rabbi be the bad guy. He's, you know, what should we do? My parents are eating out non-kosher. Okay, they go out and to Domino's Pizza, and they expect to go with them. What should I do? Okay, maybe the rabbi will talk to them, or maybe he won't. But then, things better than that. And that doesn't really affect you as long as they don't make you go with them to the pizza place. So that's really their problem. But more of things is what happens when they bring the Domino's pizza home. Okay, they bring the leftovers home and they warm it up in the oven. So then you're getting into serious sticky problems that are not so posh to deal with. Make sure you should hopefully the rabbi back home is as smicha from a respectable institution and knows enough about halacha that he can answer the question, or knows what he doesn't know, and he'll send you to someone else to answer the questions. It's not best to take it on by yourselves. Okay, so again, to the area of Bishul Akum. Bishul Akum is one of those things that a lot of people are not so mocking on. Why? I don't know. But it's a fouling. Fouling another gezeirah that we're not allowed to do a Bishul Akum is because that we're afraid that we get too close to the goyim, we're going to come to marry their daughters. Okay, there's a lot of gezeirahs made that we don't drink with goyim, and we don't let them cook our food, and we don't buy them bread necessarily. They pass akum. Maybe yes, maybe no. But Bishul Akum, that is a serious shiloh, especially for those five towns who have all live-ins and have them cooking for them on a daily basis. So there is the famous act that the Ramah brings on the Tzfarim are not necessarily making for, and that so long as a Jew takes part in any part of the process, including turning on the flame or adding fire to the flame, then that is already considered being part of the cooking process, and therefore there's no more Bishul Akum. So someone who hasn't lived in, the best thing they could do is basically turn on the fire before they leave the house and say to the guy, make sure that they cook on this fire. This is the fire that they're supposed to use. Ovens. I don't even know the Matzias now, that I'm not sure that they still have this, but back in the day there used to be a pilot light. The pilot light and oven also would save the problem, because as long as the Jew turns on the pilot light, so then the pilot light then lights the fire to the oven that generally they were makel for. But to go ahead and let the guy turn on the oven and cook the food, then it is more of a serious problem. Not all foods under the fall into the category of Bishul Akum. Okay, first of all, it has to be a food that cannot be eaten raw. If it's a food that is eaten raw, so then there's no problem of Bishul Akum. Okay, furthermore, the concept is it has to be Ola al Shulchan Malachim. It has to be a food that is Ola al Shulchan Malachim. And when Rav Shachter has, he gave two different opinions of what is Ola al Shulchan Malachim. Either means what the Queen of England would eat. Okay, what would she eat if in her house you call up the royal palace and you ask them what they serve the Queen of England? If she eats tuna fish, so then tuna fish would be Ola al Shulchan Malachim. If she would never eat, it's not too holy of a food, so it would not be Ola al Shulchan Malachim. Another shita is basically we assume what is served at a fancy wedding or things like that, that is what would be considered Ola al Shulchan Malachim. But any other food, if you have something much cheaper, okay, that would not be served either to a king or to a fancy suda, so those foods would not fall into the category of Ola al Shulchan Malachim.
It would not be served.
It's too cheap of a food that would not be served at a wedding or a banquet, things like that. Then it would not be considered Ola al Shulchan Malachim. One second. So that is really the case of Bishlach, which comes in if a maid is cooking for the family all the time. That's a serious shiloh. It's a serious shiloh that the food is kosher. And now he's serious shiloh that the food is kosher. We pass like the sheet of the Rashba that that holds that Bishlakim not only trace up the food, but it trace up the kalim. And therefore, this has been going on in the house for many years. The stum of their kalim are trafe from the whole house. The whole house became trafe kalim. So what do you do then? So basically, based on a couple of tzirufim of kulas, if it's a livin that mamish works in the Jew's house, which is generally the case of a livin, okay, she's cooking the food in the Jew's house, whatever. So there's a chacham asadim that says b'shas dechak, one can rely on a specific shita. Okay, so it could be that for guys going back home, they'll be considered a shas dechak, and they were allowed to rely on the kalim. It does not allow them to go ahead and eat the food anymore. They have to figure out what they're going to do about the food from now on, but to go ahead and now have to machshir all the kalim, to be machshir and throw out all the kalim, they can't be machshir. So then I think the Chacham Sadlam won't go ahead and rely. Remember, another very important thing that we're discussing here, we're talking a lot about bidi-evid situations when you're going home. For your own house, when you build your own homes, obviously you want to do like lechatchila. Therefore, if we're going to have a livin who's cooking, make sure that every time you're going to turn on the fire, or participate in the cooking of the food, to make sure that she understands the rules very well, so you don't get into these problems. Yes?
If you participate in cooking with her,
that's also fine. If you put the food in the pot, even for Sfardim. Sfardim are more, but this is one of the areas of Allah that Sfardim are more machmir. They do not allow turning on the flame. Okay? They have to help take part of the cooking process. But as a waiter in a restaurant in Chicago, I remember one time, I guess the other Sephardi were not so machmer, but the one time a Sephardi asked me if I would go ahead and put the food in the oven. Okay, it was because of Bishalakim. Okay, so Sephardi, we have to really look at this in terms of going to restaurants and stuff like that. A lot of times the waiter, the chefs are Mexicans, and in terms of this, though, we do not say this applies by non-from Jews. By non-from Jews, we don't say there's a problem with Bishalakim, even though we hold that the Yain Esef problem over here, Bishalakim. We generally hold that it's going to be mutter even by non-from Jews. Yes, Max?
Refrigerator, for on Shabbos, you put it some refrigerators have like a holiday one. Leave it on that. Like, it keeps like the temperature of the fridge the way it is over all Shabbos.
Okay.
Is that
enough? I'm not following. What's the problem?
No, I'm saying, are you gonna have the refrigerator like keep on running and it has the light on.
The light is a problem because when you open the door and opens the light, and when you close the door, close the light. There's no hunter for that. That's not okay. You have to save up the light. I don't want to take out the light bulb. But just the light's always gonna stay on whether you open or close it. There should be no problem. Yes, Michael.
Would you consider taking part in preparing the food as if, like, your hot water heater at home has a pilot light? Like I'm saying, I don't know about the ovens, but it's a pilot light. So if you were to light that pilot light and that...
If you light the pilot light, that's going to be good enough. Not for a spark. Right. Yes.
Can you trust that if you turn the flame on and then you leave
that's a good question.
Well, you already took question. Part in some of the cooking. You already took part in the start of the cooking.
Well, then it could be not just cooking a second dish.
A second dish.
That's a very good. It's a good question. How she could have that bonus for that? I don't know. Yes.
I like a standard like holiday breakfast. Can you have the eggs? Can you ask him, let me turn on the flame and then make you a good
one? Once again, first of all, eggs is not so clear. It's Olah Shulchan Malachim. It might be a discussion. But once again, going to the holiday is no different than going to McDonald's for breakfast. It's strafe kalim, it's strafe everything. There's no real heft to eat the eggs. I don't see that. They have yogurt. They have yogurt. There's no yogurt. So great, they have no yogurt. But to go ahead and eat hot food only in kosher places. And even cold food, salads, I told you, there could be bugs and stuff like that. There's no, they have no chiyuv of checking. Okay, yeah.
So Obama count as Olah Shulchan Malachim?
Could be, according to them. Could be.
It's a fraction.
He just told me recently, that they called the White House, asked to speak to the kitchen, asked them if they served a certain food to figure out if it was Olah Shulchan Malachim. They wouldn't answer the question.
Can you just like take out the food or prepare it to be cooked?
No, that's not good enough. It has to be part of the cooking process. You cut the vegetables for the whatever, the Chinese chicken, that's not gonna help. Yeah.
Obama was at a ball game and he was eating a hot dog. Is that
kidding? I don't know.
Yes.
We have like she's like let's say a chicken, so she's like preparing the chicken. Like she cuts that up. Is that allowed?
That's fine. It's just
the fire.
She can't, the whole cooking process, right? She can do food preparations, is no problem for her going to do. Okay.
Same thing with warming it up.
Right. Another child that a lot of people know is, what about, what's the deal with having glasses, drinking glasses for both meat and milk? And we all know that we have two different sets of dishes, and everyone should have two sets of the dishes, but some parents have glasses that are only one for, that are used for both milk and meat. Is there any room to be made over here? So the story of this is, basically there's a big shiloh, it's brought up in Hilchos Pesach, about kashering glass, because one kasher glass. There's three shittos in the Rishonim. One shita holds that glass is not boleh at all. It never takes in any taste into it. It does not absorb any taste to it. And therefore, according to this reason, there's really no problem with glass. That would be the best thing. You could use it for milk and meat. Other opinions hold that it does absorb it, but you can kasher it. And some people hold, some Rishonim hold, Yechil miParis holds that it not only takes in, but it doesn't spit back out. You can't cash your glass. It's the most machmir type of thing. So there's shittos from Mikatsa El Akatsa. What's the deal with glass? In general, for Ashkenazim, we are machmir on Pesach. We do not machshir glass. Okay, in general, we don't machshir glass. And that's going to be a hefsid merubin. There's really nothing to do. We try not machshiring glass because of that cheetah. The Ramah quotes that cheetah of Rabbi Chilmi Paris, not to go ahead and machshir glass. Okay, Sfardim are mekel, even on Pesach. That they really could take even a glass dish that was used for hot. That was used for hot chametz and really make her to din. Ravadi writes, they could go ahead and clean it out, make sure there's no mamashos of chametz, there's no residue of chametz on it, and they can go ahead and cook chametz, and they could cook for Pesach in that dish. Okay, so that is one of the bigger kulas that even on Pesach. As we said before, Ashkenazim are machmer on Pesach. It's not clear what they hold non on Pesach. In general, Ashkenazim are mekel on non Pesach. That we hold that the question is, what does it mean we're mekel on non Pesach? I mean, now we can be machshir it. Or it means we go as far as the Mechaber holds that it does not boleh at all. So we see that the general minhag was in Europe, I believe, and that's why you'll still see some of your parents still doing this, is that they'll have one set of glass for milk and meat, is because we assume that not on Pesach, it is not boleh. Okay, in general, I think that is an okay sheet to the follow. It seems like many people follow in Europe. In general, nowadays, it gets a little more complicated. The reason being is that nowadays we have a lot stronger glass. A lot stronger glass that takes in heat a lot better, especially we have coffee makers made out of glass, and we have Pyrex, and we have Duralex, and we have all the different types of glass. Back in the day, they had their wine glasses and drinking glasses, that's all they use it for. To put hot into it was so obscure that it was never going to happen, so therefore there was really no chashash, even if you would hold it, would be boleah, Basar Mechal would never really become a problem. Nowadays, where we do use our glass for more for hot, there's more of a problem. Therefore, many of the posts we hold nowadays that lechatchila one should not have one set of drinking glasses for both milk and some fleishik, and they rather they should have two sets of dishes. Okay. What? Svardim in general they make. Ravad is make or make it. Then he does bring a yish mechamirin, but Svardim have room to be make.
So let's say you have just like a cheap glass and you build cups are very nice.
Yeah.
And then
you could spill it out, clean it out, and then put chicken soup in it. Wash it to make sure there's no residue for the milk. Okay. Make sure to dinner that's motor for spot. Yes.
Regarding the Bishal Akum, so you know
Carlos and Gabby's? I've been there.
Right, so let's that. Do I have to ask the manager who's Jewish to put the meat on the grill?
Okay.
Do I have to do that?
Lechora, I think so. You have to find out what's the status of the could be certain Hachsherim in America. They do it, they automatically do it. And they make the Jew take part in it, or they turn on the. Oh, pretty probably that's not going to help. Right? The Jew do it, but I imagine you should try to be careful. I assume if you ask them, he'll tell you that we already do that. Don't worry about it.
I can't assume that for the restaurant.
Right? You can't assume a kosher restaurant is going to be Machmir Sfardim. Okay? Unless it says, let's say specifically. Yeah, quite a little bit.
Yeah. So for glasses,
yeah.
You said that who's the figure that you quote at says that ideally now we should have two sets of glasses for milk and meat?
Ravnevensal holds like that, Sternbach, a lot of
places.
Especially for Ashkenazim, if it's used for half, there's no many. I'm talking about just for Ashkenazim, for Sfarim, they have roots in Yemekel, even for. It's just stuff used for hat. For Ashkenazim, even the coin of the Kilim, our grandparents in Europe, they only use it for glass, drinking glasses. And for,
but let's say you're not putting specific. And is there room to be made? Like, should I go home and tell my parents?
No. I don't think you should tell your parents. You let them rely on it. Just make sure that the glass is clean whenever you're using it. Yes.
Plastic? What about plastic? Like, thick plastic cups, like, not disposable.
No, they have thick plastic that we generally don't. And not make.
So you need to consider that also.
You should not use.
If you're just drinking water, it's fine. Yeah?
If you're just drinking water, it's fine.
So why are you putting meat?
No, I'm saying,
like,
let's say you have a glass of apple juice at a meal and a milk meal.
Right, that's also better. You don't have to bring the milk dishes to the meal. Yeah.
Well, that's able to eat by Spartans.
Someone said they asked what Nevin saw this week and he thought it was fine even for Pesach. That was only an Isra on the looking in front of the top row. But I did not ask for them saw myself, so I can't clarify. But you want to know what an Ashkenazi, then either a Spartan's house who relies and cooks hot in the glass dish for both milk making milk. It's a good question. I can't answer because I didn't know it's worked out.
Does Sparty also be in Nachshon's house for being there?
Special Akkad. That's a good question.
Sir, could you use
We're not talking about Hesher Kalim right now. Yes, you can master Kalim for Pesach, that's your question. But that's complicated, but it's not our topic really today. But I have to be master Kalim. Yes, last question.
If you have Pyrex crossbow, you should have separate
meat and milk. Pyrex has to go for Ashkenazim, they should have separate meat and milk. Yes. But if one's parents does not do that, then they should talk to their local Orthodox. Pyrex is they have like no it's thick glass they can stick an oven. Okay, now ovens. What about what's the deal with using an oven for both milk and inflations? Is that what or not? So in general, it seems to be if you open up the Shulchan Aruch, this seems to be a major problem of using an oven for both milk and inflations because we have a concept called zeya. Okay, in general. The foods are not going to touch it in separate pots, so what's the problem? They're not going to touch each other. They're just being warmed up in the same oven. What should really be the problem? So the question is based on the Tshuva Rosh, who holds that there's a problem called Zeya. Zeya is the steam that comes up from the food. We generally assume that the Zeya of a product is like the product. Okay, and therefore Zeya of Chalav is like Chalav. And Zeya of Basar, is of chicken soup, is like chicken soup. Okay, and therefore if you're going to cook in the oven, milks. Okay, so that zeya is going to go up and get absorbed into the walls and you cook in the oven fleishiks, so that the steam could then cause the absorption of taste in the walls of the oven to come back down into the food. So that is what's problem. Therefore, to cook for sure together milk and fleishiks at the same time in the oven is absolutely usher. It probably tricks up the food. The food is no good to eat. Okay, however, there are a number of ways to be makel, even to cook at the same time. So a number of ways. One of the most popular ways is to make sure that the food is covered. Food is covered, so we assume that the zeya stays in the covered food. If it's covered well, okay? If it's covered well, it's going to be good. That's why, how do we eat our airplane food? Forget about halal, where all the food is at least some status of kosher, but you go on Air Canada or British Airways, whatever it might be, how do you eat the food? They warm it up in a tray oven. So the answer, as you see, it is wrapped. It's completely wrapped, and therefore, no taste, we assume, can go into the food. Based on there, we have double wrapped, okay? So that is what I had to do, and therefore, even together, if they're cooking at the same time, at least one of them is absolutely covered, so then that would be a room to be makel to do that. Cook one after another. So that also is a big discussion in the poskim. There is most poskim, a lot of poskim are machmir. To use one oven for both milks and places is not so poshut. However, I imagine a lot of parents do that. they have an oven, and they don't have a separate two ovens, one for milk and one for lactations. And especially in America, where you have those big ovens, and the big ovens, people don't usually have two ovens unless they live in a very large house that have room for two large ovens, usually with a large kitchen. So then some people nowadays will have two of those large ovens. Most of our parents only have one large oven. I don't know what it's like in Europe, because European ovens are like the Israeli ovens that are half the size, if not a third of the size of things. So a lot of people, I assume, then would be able to have two separate ovens. So what is the story with this? So generally, I just said we have to worry about the zeh going to the walls, the zeh going back onto the food. So there are poskim who hold like this from Schefter, is one of them, who holds that that our ovens, since it has a ventilation system, okay, it's already mentioned in the Rishonim, it's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, if it has enough ventilation that the steam will go out of the oven, so we don't assume there's a problem with zeh. And therefore, Rav Schefter held that it is motor to use an oven both for milk and inflation as long as it's one after another, not together. It does not allow it together once again. He would allow it to use one after another. Okay? What?
Is that like
with the oven? No, he held lechatchila. Okay, I wouldn't say he's the most majority opinion over here, but for our parents today, they rely on Rav Schefter, is what to rely on. That you don't have to say anything, you could eat the food, and I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Covered.
What?
Food's still being covered.
Food's not covered. Even if it's not covered. If it's covered, then everyone's going to hold this much. Okay? So that is under your parents, so therefore I would not say anything if your parents, especially when they have the big American ovens, which has more ventilation and more area for the steam to get out, then one could be prepared. But Liza Roshechter, or those Shitas, even if they probably don't know Roshechter held like that, but they heard it from somewhere, and therefore they could rely on it. For you, when you get older and you have your own house, so the best thing to do is have two ovens. If you can have two ovens, that's the best. If you only have one oven, what do you do then? What's the best way to do with when you have one oven, the milk and simflation? So simflation is the best process. The best process is to choose. Either your oven is a milchik oven or it's a fleishik oven. Let's say most people, I assume, cook fleish in their oven. Okay, if they're not vegetarians, they cook more fleish than they do milchik in the oven. So let's say their oven is fleish. Okay, so it's a fleishik oven, and therefore whenever they cook milchik in it, what they do is they cover the milchik. You cover the milchik when you cook the milchik in there, and then for the fleishik, you can cook even uncovered, and that'll get rid of any of the problems. So what if your wife really needs to make, a cheesecake that has to be cooked uncovered? So then you get into another machlokas, whether you can machshir the oven in between usages. Can you basically turn, after waiting 24 hours, can you then turn on the oven to its highest degree, and then go ahead and use the oven? So in the modern day ovens, where you have the self-cleaning mode, you have a self-cleaning mode, so even without waiting 24 hours, if you put on the self-cleaning mode and it goes through the whole system, that it should be mutter lekulei alma, and you'd be able to then go ahead and cook. Now I can cook my milchik, because that basically purges everything out of the oven. We assume that it has a status like what we call Liban Gomer. Okay, we're dealing with these halachas, gulam of the kol. We're going to get to these, we didn't get to ovens yet, we're going to get there very soon. What's with oven? Liban Gomer, for self-cleaning, a lot of people also hold that that's like Liban Gomer, and therefore it purges everything, even if you cook the butter within 24 hours, you'll be allowed to go ahead and those who do not have a self-clean oven, they don't have time to self-clean the oven, it takes hours to self-clean the ovens. What about turning on its highest mode? So that is another machlok as opposed to whether one could rely on it. Okay? Some say yes, some say no. Rav Neventzel, for a technicality, that doesn't really master it, there's a separate problem of mastering the oven for milk and flatsheks, because it's a gezeirah. There's a gezeirah in general, you should know this, when you're master kalim. Your master kalim, Ashkenazim or Machmer, not to master from milchiks to flatsheks and flatsheks to milchiks. Because we're afraid you're going to get mixed up, you're going to constantly be master your kalim, and you're going to forget, and you're going to use the wrong kli for the wrong thing. So we don't master from milchiks and flatsheks, therefore, Nevitzel holds that once you're not master his oven, as if he does leave in Gomor, for sure. If he's doing mamish self clean, then it could be that would be even mutter then. Fine, so that's in terms of UV using ovens. Let me just get to microwaves. What about microwaves? So microwaves are also very complicated, and it's the foul. Microwaves, on one hand, is much better because it doesn't really use heat directly. So some people there's no bleus at all in a microwave, perhaps. However, that's generally also, once again, not the opinion that we necessarily follow. We assume there are bleus in a microwave.
It's
Liz. Liz, it absorption. It absorbs taste in the wall. It absorbs taste in the wall. It also has ventilation. It also has ventilation. And therefore, you, once again, I imagine a lot of your parents use a microwave oven both for milkshakes and flatshakes. I highly don't recommend this this tactic of using microwave ovens in, for both milkshakes and flatshakes is not such a great thing at all. Once again, talk to your local Orthodox rabbis if your parents do it, whether you should go ahead and use that oven or not. Now, what you could do, what for sure is okay, is once again, do the covering trick. If you cover it very well, and nothing gets the taste of that going in and out, most things with microwaves, you're allowed to cover it. It doesn't really cause any, it won't really bother the food too much, and therefore you'll get around the problems. Especially now that they have, I believe they have microwave inserts, they have special containers for the microwave. They can put it in their closed containers. You get one, especially for what's the, you get one for milk, but for flatshakes, that would be the best. The best thing to do, as I said before, is once again, make your microwave either milkshakes or flatshakes, whatever you use the most. And if you ever want to use a microwave for another thing, then use these microwave inserts to go ahead and cover it, and you'll not get a problem. What about mastering a microwave oven? So there's a famous culo that people say is that basically we hold the, when we generally master things, we hold kibolo kakpolto. The way it comes in is the way it goes out. So microwave oven works, that doesn't really have natural heat. What happens is it heats up the food, and the food then causes steam to go out. So really the only problem is the food rising with steam, that's the absorption in the walls. So people claim that if you fill a bowl of water and you turn it on for a few minutes in the microwave, so that steam will go ahead and machsher what's ever in the walls. It's not so pushed for a number of reasons. Now, first of all, it's not going to help for the glass dish that the food is on. That for sure will become tray if you use it for milk example. The rotator that sits at the bottom of the microwave oven. Okay, and number
that's
two.
Covered, that's covered anyway.
What?
That's covered anyway. No one has an open thing on the bottom.
Yeah, but tray with the Klee, Kaylee, if things fall on there, that's more, it's more problematic. If the food's covered, once again, if it's such a double covering, it should be fine.
That's
but what? So, does that work or not? So, basically, for sure, for Pesach, one should be machmir. Right? The reason why it's not so posh is number one, the walls are made out of plastic. The walls are made out of plastic. Plastic is not so kosh, to those who clarity that you can even kasher. Most Ashkenaz are machmir for Pesach, not kasher Kalim. So, go ahead and kasher your microwave. For Pesach, is not the clearest thing. Secondly, the food could get stuck in the ventilation areas. Things could splatter there. It's very hard to clean those areas. And there it is. So for sure, we're Pesach wants you machmer during the year. He wants to machmer it. So it could be that one could rely on this way to machmer a microwave oven.
You should have a second microwave for Pesach.
If you could have a second microwave for Pesach, that would be the best. Not to use your microwave.
And if not,
once again, if your parents use it, and that's it. There's no shittas to rely on. What's going to ask the Rav what to do? Okay, that's if you could cover things for Pesach, for sure you should cover things for Pesach. The last thing is Chol of Yisrael. What about what's the deal with Chol of Yisrael? So basically, Chol of Yisrael, there's no Chol of Yisrael versus Chol of Akum is awesome. Okay, if a Jew milks the cow without Jewish supervision, the milk is also similar to Bishul Akum, similar to other things like that. Okay? Rav Moshe Feinstein came around and came up with the following heter. It's a Rav Moshe's shoulders are unbelievable shoulders to rely on. And he basically said that what's the chashash? What are we chashash for that the guy milks the cow? We're afraid that he's not going to milk a cow. He's going to milk a pig and tell you it's cow milk, but it really is pig milk, and it's really trade. So nowadays, at least in America, and I assume in England and most Western countries, they have their own prohibitions. A farmer is not allowed to sell milk that he says is cow milk, and it's really pig milk. Okay, you get in a lot of trouble. You lose his business if he does that. And therefore, Moshe Feinstein held that was the same thing as if a Jew was watching over and making sure that he was milking the cow and not milking the pig. Is these American regulations, the FAA or whatever it might be, the regulations that are watching over them to make sure that they're not serving pig milk, that serves to be Chol of Yisrael. And therefore, Moshe Feinstein was not making the dinner. One can rely on it, and all of the truth as he mentions it over and over again. He does say Yerushalayim should be Machmir, but definitely one has run right to rely on for Moshe, especially when he's in his parents' house. I don't recommend taking on Kol Yisrael. If you want to take on Kol Yisrael, wait until you're married in your own home. Don't drive your parents crazy. Rely on Rav Moshe and Rav Nevitzal himself. Probably on many numerous occasions that one can rely on Rav Moshe when it comes to Kol Yisrael. And therefore, I don't see the reason why one should take it on right now.
Okay,
let me ask a question. Yes.
These
look
for English people where
some people
say
on call. You have to
honor a little bit CS in English.
Yes. How long do you have to turn your oven on to change the oven or microwave?
Oven.
Half hour, an hour. A long time. Yeah. Yes.
Is it better to kasher your microwave in between each use or to color it? Cover each dish.
Best would be to cover each dish. Yes.
Two questions. One is a plate a good enough cover for a microwave?
So you have to test it out. The plate, if you see the steam is not coming out, so it's a good enough. It's a good enough cover. If you see it doesn't cover it so well, and things are steam is coming out of it, so it's not such a good cover.
And also, if you make your oven meat, and then you cook cookies in there. Is that what's the status of those cookies?
That's what we call flashic equipment, dairy equipment. If you put that means when selling something dairy equipment for Sfaradim, there's no nafkamina with it. For Ashkenazim, nafkamina is that if something is cooked in a flashic oven, you're cooking flashic in a flashic oven, you won't be allowed to dip it in milk. You can't have it in a milk suda. You don't have to wait 6 hours afterwards. You can have it right after having milk, meat, or milk. That's not a problem. The problem is having it together. Yes.
One cover of aluminum foil in the oven good enough for covering or not?
If it's wrapped starkly, then it should be fine. It's just laid on top. Yes.
I don't know if you mentioned this. Can you have your milk oven, which is under the flashic oven, both running at the same time?
In general, the way they're built made now, yes. There's enough thick enough walls that nothing's going through those.
Good question.
Yes.
Smart of the phones.
I think your videos make it also. No?
I don't know.
I think it's part of an American remake. Yes. It's not an Ashkenazic Sparty thing. It's not like the Machlok Machab Ramah. What? It's a reality in America, whether you can rely on it. It's like a Ravadia saying a Chiddush in Allah that has nothing to do with Machab Ramah. Ashkenazic can follow it also. Ravadia is being Makel because of Machab versus Ramah, so Ashkenazic can't follow that Psak. But the most of the making of Psak wasn't for Ashkenazic versus Sparty. Yes.
When you put the thing in the microwave for 7 minutes, so the water processor goes into like things, don't you feel like washing up liquids in the cup?
What?
No, when you say, let's say you want to use the paste stuff, you've got to put a cup in boiling hot water in the microwave for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
To it. I think, don't you have to put like liquid in it? Like,
I said a bowl of water.
You know, also like liquid.
Washing up liquids.
They
just put washing up liquids in
like
soap.
That might be better. I don't know why that should be the water should be good enough. Yeah, so we gotta take last 1, 2, 3, and then we have to finish this people race. Yeah.
Regarding stuff that's OUD.
Yes.
So if in America, like all the products have to say like if it contains peanuts or milk.
Right.
I'm saying so something like Oreos.
You should always call OU. You have to call OU. You can't just by reading the ingredients. Yes.
You said about liquid, you said about plastic
turner. Okay. How can you kosher? It's a wait 24 hours. Usually it's glass. For Pesach, it might be a problem for Ashkenazim. Not in Pesach, you would have to pour boiling water, hot water over it. Clean it 24 hours, pour boiling water over it.
Plastic,
that's a machlokas. Not on Pesach, they're a mekila.
Sorry, if it's glass for
Sephardis,
is there a problem?
What's glass for Sephardis? Chora for Sephardis would not be a problem. Make sure it's clean. It has to be clean. Yeah.
Do you have to scrub down the oven?
So for a self-clean oven, for sure not. That does that for you. If you're burning it out, so I think the public would say yes, you should clean it out. It could be that mixture didn't even have to be.